This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Nation, welcome to episode 22 of Chicken Salad. My name's Ben Locke. Let me bring in my co-host. First, the man who this past weekend got left hanging by Mickey James, but got to feel exactly how strong Jordan Grace is, and managed to stop PTB's very own Jake Williams jumping a guardrail to get to Matt Cardona. It's the Prince of Inappropriateness and the Mississippi Mud Pie, Logan Crosland. How are you, Logan?
I'll just say my hand was hardcore broken. How
are
you doing,
Matt? Yeah. I am very well. And I can't believe, I still can't believe she did that to you. Did she not know who she's dealing with?
I would have done it to her too.
I was beyond offended, so, you know.
You're wearing your highway to the impact zone fleece and everything.
Mm-hmm. What a bitch.
Disgraceful. You've already heard from my second co-host. He's actually here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Because second of all, joining us from the Quesadilla House in the LiveMass Retirement Complex, it's the king of the shit take, the radish of the salad family. It's only Sean fucking Kidd. Hello, Sean.
Good evening, Ben. I like how you said quesadilla. It's quesadilla, but yeah, I'm happy to be here.
I don't have a Taco Bell, okay?
All right. No, it's fine. I just had to throw it back a little bit. No, good to be here. It's been like a few months, and honestly, I have been in a quesadilla house, just not the one you're describing. So it's nice to actually be back and do this show tonight. So, and I'm very excited for our guest, because I know she's very excited about this show. So this should be a lot of fun. So.
Yes, exactly. Because as Sean mentioned, we do have a special guest tonight, because I have a king, I have a prince, so therefore we need a queen. You can hear her on a variety of programs here on the Quadrupods, including her very own feed. It's the wonderful and delightful queen of obscene herself, Jennifer Smith. Jenny, welcome to Chicken Salad.
Hey, boys. Thank you for that. That was a very sweet intro, unlike Sean's quesadilla or whatever. happy to be here. Excited to watch my favorite show of all time.
Look, I'm trying to fit in, okay? We don't have a Taco Bell around here. I don't know what these things are.
With that intro, you won't get one there anytime soon. So.
Damn it. I'll have to just go like somewhere else, like KFC or something.
Same company, so it still goes in my pocket. Thanks.
Okay, cool. I'll do that for you, because I'm a nice guy.
Thank you.
So, you're welcome. So, like Jenny says, we are going to be talking about her favorite show of all time. Jenny, for those one or two people who may not know what your favorite show of all time is, tell them what it is.
It is Uncensored 1995.
Uncensored 1995, indeed. Right off the bat, Jen, I'm going to have to ask you, why this show? What is it about this show that you love so much?
So it's basically the show that made me really fall in love with wrestling and want to learn about it, want to do podcasts about it, want to watch it for a million hours. So it's really just like the gateway. And I mean, we'll get into it, but there's a lot of reasons for me to love this show.
There is. There is a veritable something for everyone on this show, I think. Logan, I know that you are also an Uncensored 95 truther.
Oh yeah, this is a fantastically entertaining show is what I'll say to not piss off our other co-hosts. But I really enjoy this one. This is one we've watched on numerous Saturday night calls. Even if it's just been one or two matches, we've watched at least part of this at least 100 times. So
I don't think that's inaccurate, sir, because nobody can ever watch this
five.
Yeah, I don't think you've ever gotten through any show on the dark web of Saturday night ever. So.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, we've always had a ton of fun watching this one. So, but yeah, we'll get into it.
There's plenty of shows that have been started but never finished on those calls. Sean, I get the feeling you have a slightly different view about this show that we'll get into, but I'm guessing you probably watched this live at the time.
You're actually wrong. So I will say, no, I did not. What I will say, though, is Logan is correct. It is a highly entertaining show, and I'm going to leave it at that until we get into the matches. But, no, I stopped watching wrestling for a period of time, and honestly, it started when Hogan I think it started with Starrcade 94 and that absolute train wreck of a main event with Beefcake and Hogan, and I checked out for until January of 96. That's when so I had that whole year off where I didn't watch any wrestling because I was that angry at Hogan.
I was gonna say I don't think you were the only one with that Hogan hate, to be fair.
You could say Starrcade 94 butchered your relationship with wrestling.
Oh, nice joke there.
It butchered Sean's friendship with wrestling or whatever.
it really did. It took it out of me. I just couldn't watch anymore. So
if only you had hung on for 95 and you know your whole fandom could have been rescued with this one show.
Well, that's incorrect.
Potentially.
So, Ben, full transparency. For this watch, this is the first time I've watched this whole entire show in its whole. So.
Okay. I have watched. I'm with the other two. I've watched this show quite a few times. You know, considering we didn't get pay per views at all over here, like this is one of the ones I had to go watch on the network, and I must have seen it upwards of 10 times, I think. Because it's only 2.5 hours, so, you know, it's quite an easy breezy watch.
9.5 times said, too much.
Oh, dear. Sean, we have company.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'll behave.
Okay, so if we are all ready, let us go to Tupelo, Mississippi. And before I start, Sean, Tupelo, Mississippi, have you ever been?
I have not. I would imagine maybe Logan has.
Ah, of course.
Yeah, I've been there a few times. I've been in the arena the show's in a few times. Was not at the show because I was less than 2 years old. So,
So what's actually? Sorry, I'm going to go back a bit. What actually takes place in this show? Is it a basketball arena or what?
It's just kind of a concert, you know, arena. They don't have a team or anything. I think they had like a hockey team back in the day, but it was like minor leagues and stuff like that. But it was never a big sports thing. It was concerts, wrestling shows, stuff like that. It's called the Bancorp South Arena now, but yeah. Been there quite a few times for a few shows. So.
Did you see Disney on Ice there?
I have not seen Disney on Ice there. Okay. I probably will in the future, but I haven't seen it yet. So
okay.
See, that was quite embarrassing of me, and I'm trying to style out the fact that I forgot that Logan was actually from this state for a second.
I had your back.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. So let us go to Tupelo, Mississippi after all that for Uncensored 95. Our hosts tonight are Tony Schiavone and Bobby the Brain Eden, and they are with Mike Tenay, who's doing interview duty tonight because Mean Gene is out of action. I think he was having neck surgery at the time, if that sounds about right. They run down all of tonight's big matches. Bobby says tonight's going to be the biggest week in sport because we've got Michael Jordan's comeback, Mike Tyson's getting released from prison, and Uncensored is taking place, which is, of course, the biggest thing of all. They also talk about Hulk Hogan's quote-unquote ultimate surprise, who is the Renegade, who will be at ringside for tonight's main event. We will get more into him as the evening goes on. Our first match, though, isn't going to be taking place in the ring. It is going to be taking place out on the outskirts of Tupelo, Mississippi. It's a King of the Road match between Blacktop Bully and Dustin Rhodes. And of course, Dustin Rhodes is known as...
They call him the Natural. Natural as can be. They call him the Natural. It comes natural. Naturally. All right, I'm stopping there.
Wait. I need the best line of the
movie. Oh, no, sorry. He's the son of a son and son of a gun.
There you go. All right. I needed the son of a son. Thank you for that.
Sorry. I forgot that was your favorite part. Sorry.
We did that just for you, Jenny. Just for you.
I appreciate that.
So, like I say, this match tonight is a King of the Road match, which takes place on a truck on the back roads of Tupelo, Mississippi. Jenny, as this is your favorite match of all time, I am going to start with you. And I know when you were on Special Relations, you said why, you explained why it's your favorite, but there is such a kitsch value to this that I can see why you love it so much.
I will correct you a tiny bit, because this match was taped outside of Atlanta, before the show. And so they are having to, pretend like this is Tupelo. So I'm sorry. I think that's fantastic and hilarious. Just like the commentary throughout this whole match, which is one of the main reasons why I like it. Because Bobby is on fire, just making fun of everything. To hilarious fashion. And Mike Tenay was, I think he puts his two cents in there a couple times, but this match is just, it's just wild. Like it's different. This is the only match of its kind, like that I've ever heard of. Correct. Like, have y'all ever heard of this to ever occur again? No, I just think that it looks challenging. It looks brutal in spots. They have interesting weapons to use inside of the cage. And then you just get the whole like scope of what they're actually doing, which is just driving around while this is occurring. They have to make turns. You know, they have a helicopter following them and a truck on the side to get all the camera shots. Lots of camera work here. It's edited heavily because they both end up bleeding, which they can't bleed, and they were fired for bleeding after this match. So it is like my life's dream to see the unedited version of this match.
Ooh.
And I think that's the only thing that could ever top it. It's just fun. It's just different, and it's like a performative thing, like all of wrestling is, but I think it's just special.
Ballet.
I think it's just special. And some, you know, you need different stuff. You need stuff like this in wrestling. I think somebody to try to think outside the box sometimes. So that's my feelings about it.
You do. Sean, like Jenny says, sometimes different is good. And I, for some strange reason, I really like the fact that they went different. I maybe wouldn't have gone first match with it, but I like the fact they went different.
Before I go, I got to ask. So, Jenny, what's your overall star rating on this match?
This is 5 stars.
Okay. All right.
All right. Let me get ready for this. Okay. So Jenny brought up a lot of great, interesting points. Them constantly calling the helicopter the WCW helicopter was hysterical. That was amazing. She is spot on with Bobby's commentary. He was so on fire in this match. And him shitting on the trailer park was amazing. Him shitting on the downtown area of Tupelo was amazing.
It was like chicken. It was like a chicken like farm or something. Yes. He was like, oh, it's downtown. Yes.
So all of those points are 100% right. Is it unique? 100% right. So this will be kind of run down this a little bit. So there's a couple spots. There's one spot where Dustin's climbing the cage all the way on the opposite end when the bully is on the other end where the freaking horn is. Why is he climbing the cage when there's nobody over there? I didn't really understand that. Maybe I'm overthinking it. Bobby with another great line. I bet this truck smells like Dusty's living room, which if you listen to the highway to the Impact Zone, we always make fun of how bad Dusty smells. So that popped me a little bit. And this is where it gets a little crazy for me. So Jenny says there's some good spots. Here's where I wrote. Pile driver on the hay. Backdrop on the hay. Suplex on the hay. Watching them fall on the hay. So those are my spots. I love
so that explains why Dustin is climbing the cage, whatever you want to call it, is so like, because it's hard to walk and stumble all over that hay, right? So he's thinking that maybe he has better control if he's climbing, perhaps.
Okay, well, I appreciate the explanation. Thank you for that. I listen, the sun, this camera shots are awesome. I love the sundown camera shot, which popped me a little bit. The trough, the pig trough shot was awesome to the head. The church bus. Oh, we got to stop for a church bus. And then you literally stop. And he couldn't edit out the church bus. So you literally see the bus go in front. That was amazing. It was so good. Dustin visually falling from the horn, I thought was fantastic. Like, they didn't show the bottom of it. So you just see Dustin take this big plummet. And many times they're like hanging off the side where like legit looks like they could die falling off the side of the truck. So this was okay. So, yes, very entertaining. Heenan commentary, again, just made this whole thing for me. On the opposite side of this, this also drove Dustin to spur his namesake could be Gold Dust for the rest of his life. And I would say entertainment-wise, it was 5 stars. Match-wise, it is ridiculous. And if I'm going to rate it as a match, based on, I have to go 1.75 on a match, but 100% 5-star entertainment. And I think that's fair.
I've got to say my favorite Bobby line was the whole Elvis has got 14 brothers-in-laws.
There were so many. Like Bobby, this might have been one of Bobby's best commentary. Like one of his best moments I've ever seen. He was just so good.
Absolutely.
So good.
Logan, we've had 1.75. We've had a 5-star. Where do you stand?
So I kind of ranked all the matches on the show separately. I did the match rating, kind of like Sean just did, and then I did an entertainment rating. So, yeah,
why?
5-star.
I gotta question this. Is this what y'all do in this show?
No,
do you not factor in your entertainment into your star rating?
I did.
No, I know. You gave 2 separate star ratings.
I did. For this one, I did. 100. This show, I did. What? I did. Yep.
I don't get it.
It's just
your enjoyment
it's
not
different.
Factor into it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just I felt this show was appropriate to kind of, but it's more for a match later because it's really bad. Actually,
yeah, Jenny, I didn't do this on every match. I just did it on this. So
see that why?
Because not the rest of it's not 5-star entertainment. To be perfectly honest,
right? Just give it the star that you think it should have with the factor of entertainment included. I'm just curious why.
Because if I'm gonna rate it as a match, it's 1.75. So
okay, well, just say that then.
All right, 1.75. All right, Logan.
I don't see how you can you can see the entertainment, enjoy watching it, and then give it. I don't know. I guess everybody does their.
Well, Jenny, I'm old and I'm an asshole and I'm picky, so that's the reality, right?
I can't really describe it, but it's different. Like, I really enjoy it, but I know it's not that good at the same time. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's different for me. So I went 5 stars on the entertainment for sure, but I went 1.5 on the match. But just some stuff that I wrote down. Dustin absolutely should have won the match like seconds in because he was up by the horn and Bully was at like the very back of the truck. So, but apparently Dustin can't climb as we see completely throughout this match. Bobby says Dustin should be at home in the back of the truck because it's filled with hay and manure. And then I wrote down the dusty living room thing that Sean talked about. Dustin even attempting and hitting a pile driver on a moving vehicle is both insane and incredible. I thought that was amazing that he even attempted that. And I don't know where Dustin got busted open throughout the time, but he does a blade job and it obviously cost him his job like we had already talked about. At one point, the driver slams on the brakes and Bully just goes ass over tea kettle and it's an incredibly hilarious spot. Bobby calling the trailer homes Mississippi condos, I thought was a great line. And I also made the note that Ben said about Elvis and his 14 brothers that live in that very trailer park. The whole thing is absolutely ridiculous, as we've talked about, but it's a ton of fun to watch in the absurdity. So, like I said, I went 1.5 on the match, but entertainment-wise, it's 5 stars.
It's ridiculous in the best way. Now, I'm kind of with, I'm going to go with Sean. 1.75 sounds about right to me. Because that, I enjoyed it. And Logan, just remember, Hay can be very abrasive, as Tony's told us. You've always remember that. So after this match, we go backstage where Mike Tenay is now with the Stud Stable. Arn Anderson promises that time is running out for Johnny B. Badd, and he must be a desperate man who wants to put boxing gloves on because Arn will stretch him out. I'm going to try and not make a joke there. Rob Park says, "But Blacktop Bully did his job tonight, and it was worth getting him out of jail for." And Jim Duggan hasn't got a chance tonight with Ming in a martial arts style. Duggan's cross eyes are apparently going to be crossed for good tonight. So see, Sean, COVID eye started early tonight.
Yeah, Duggan's had constant COVID eye his whole career. He's an OG.
He's a COVID eye OG.
COVID eye OG.
He's a Koji.
So we then go back. We then go to the ring where our second match of the night takes place between Ming and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I will go to Sean first. Sean, were you into the whole martial art match thing, or were you just more excited about Sonny Bo? Sonny, I'm calling him Sonny Bono now. Sonny Ono being in the ring as the ref.
So this is where for me. Okay, so I'm a very old school wrestling guy. You know, I like mid '80s WCW, obviously, or NWA. So first off, seeing Arn in this interview, by the way, Arn looking very hairy and meaty in this interview tonight. Very beefy, Arn Anderson. Nothing wrong with beefy Arn. I'm okay with it. But Ming, like, I didn't understand what his outfit was. Was he supposed to be a gypsy? Was he supposed to be a samurai? Was he part of Cobra Kai? It's like a multifaceted outfit, so I thought that was very unusual. And then he has Road Warrior's face paint on, so I have no idea what they were going for with Ming. As far as the match, Sonny Ono looking very, very serious, like he's this big, huge karate expert judge, was very funny. Heenan makes some of the most off-color racial jokes throughout this whole thing, which was kind of made me twinge a little bit. It's kind of uncomfortable. The other note I made is Ming needs shoes, because, of course, I'm Sean, and you didn't point that out. Duggan, have you guys seen WrestleMania 3?
Yes.
Okay, so Duggan is wearing his same exact outfit that he did during the Killer Bees tag team match when he ran in and hit the Sheik with the piece of lumber. So this outfit he's wearing is very old. Duggan was also making fun of the bowing, which, you know, also pretty off color. The other note I made is, do you remember when these two fought for King of the Ring in 1989? And here we are 6 years later, they're on a pay-per-view. Five star Ming grunting. I love Ming's grunts. The match is fucking terrible. All punch, choke, kick. The kick to finish the match was really good because he absolutely clobbered Duggan, but this match is a full-on dud for me. Sucks. Dud.
I love the fact that, like, Parker and Ono just held him there so Ming could hit him. That was fantastic.
That kick was savage. Like, you know what? I'm actually going to go to a half star just for that kick to Duggan's head. Yes. It should have cured his COVID eye, and it didn't. That's how good it was.
Logan, if you loved nerve holds and nerve pinch holds, this was the match for you, because I counted at least five.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And it probably knocked Duggan's eye even further out of orbit, so it gave him more COVID eye than he had before. So, another Bobby line to start this match was that he said this was Duggan's formal wear that he was wearing. He was wearing, like, a black shirt and jeans, and then he had this little bandana on. So, and I immediately said, I know why Sean hates this match. It's because Duggan doesn't wear shoes for most of it. So the fact that he said the thing about Ming makes me laugh even harder that I wrote that down. I'm with Sean on this one. This match sucks. It's plain and simple. It just really, really sucks. But it all is also 95 Duggan and Ming, so that's not super shocking. It's a ton of punches and kicks and nerve holds. But I'm very glad Ming won. I originally wrote dud, but I'll give it a quarter star for the kick and the fact that Ming beat Duggan. So I'll give it that.
I went that Duggan has gone full Bruce Springsteen in the Dancing from the Dark video.
That's a good comparison.
Jen,
11 years after the video. Very good comparison.
Yeah. Duggan's with the times, man. Let's face it. Jenny, I mean, like I say, you know, you got 5 minutes of quality arm promo before this, and Ming just absolutely being a beast all throughout this match.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked during that pre-match promo, Ming with his back to the camera the whole time. I thought that was really good. And, okay, I mean, part of the appeal of this show to me is all the freaking weird gimmick matches. It's like,
yeah,
it's like a collection of unique shit that you probably will not see on any other show. And I guess you could argue it's because they did not work. But for me, I think it's funny. I think it's interesting. I think it's almost a little meta to have to have this martial arts match with fucking Jim Duggan in it.
I'm meta, sorry. Meta, I think meta, that's meta is certainly a word for that, for sure.
And if you are familiar with Jim Duggan, I would argue that this is one of his best performances as this character. The crowd loves him, obviously. He's always a crowd pleaser. Like Sean said, he's wearing his formal wear. And I thought he did a pretty fucking fun match. Like, for what he is, for his style of wrestler and his gimmick and everything that he is, I feel like it's probably one of his best.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt that.
Okay, so...
So Jenny, that's where on the flip side for me, because I'm older, I've seen good Duggan. So it's a little different for me because I've seen him when he was actually like putting on 5-star matches in like 1984. So that's right. Kind of hard for me to say that. So I totally get the difference though, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. I've not seen that stuff,
yeah,
but
sure,
you know, just the stuff that I've seen with him like this, you know,
Yeah, he's been the same character for years. So I get what you're saying. Yep.
Right. Yeah. He's basically the same guy since 87, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And then Ming, you know, I don't know. I think he looks good. I mean, a lot of nerve holds, and it's still kind of funny that they're doing a martial arts match, and there's very, very little martial arts in the match to me. So
nerve holds and kicks. That's martial arts, Jen. Come on.
Yeah, I know, but like, you know, not I guess what you would normally think for martial arts. Which is, I mean, just still funny and entertaining to me. I like Colonel Parker's involvement in it. And I'm sorry, I just really like this match. And I'm giving it 3 stars.
3 stars. I mean, to be fair, I mean, Jenny makes a very compelling case because I also love me some Colonel Parker.
Jenny's explanations are spot on. So good argument. I mean, I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really did think about this a lot today and like try because I mean, all I can really say is like my emotions about it. So I'm trying to like think about it and put like words and like something significant to like explain why I feel the way I do.
And well, you did a good job of it.
Yeah. Same. Excellent job.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad that's coming across anyway.
It is. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get it, for sure.
It doesn't change my mind, but you're freaking making
it. No, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
No, it's great. I'm totally listening to what you're saying, 100%.
That's what we like about this show, people who are passionate about things.
It's nice to have someone on that, you know, on a pod where you're watching typically bad shows, and we think it's still overall a bad show. It's nice to have someone that actually loves the show to give perspective, so it's a little different, so I kind of like that.
Exactly. That's the whole reason I invited Jenny on, so we get a different perspective.
Yep, I like it.
And I appreciate you guys being respectful because, you know, y'all could be real dicks about this.
Well, Jenny, if you were other people, I'd probably be a dick about it, but you're a little different.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, I recognize and acknowledge that. So I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. The show's not over yet, though.
You are at the top of the wheel.
Yeah, this is very early in the show. So
very early. It's very early on. If we go to the main event and I'm getting 5 stars, we might have some words.
All right.
Us being dicks.
You know what I mean.
Absolutely. Sure.
No, really appreciate it. Right. So we then, after the match, we then head backstage again to Mike Tenay, who's now with Johnny B. Badd and his trainer, Rock Finnegan. And Johnny says that he won't be disadvantaged wearing the gloves, and Arn is going to Dreamland. Mike then intros a fantastic video package featuring on, which I'm sure all three of my co-hosts have got notes on, so we'll talk about that as well as the match, Logan. This match, I've got to say, you know, we talk about entertainment, and I absolutely love this, and I don't know what it was about it, whether it's on the whole boxing thing, because they stayed true to the boxing thing for a couple of rounds, and they told a really good story throughout, I thought.
Oh, no, absolutely. The promo in the construction yard in front of the Ford Bronco or whatever it was. I think it was a Ford Bronco, but just an absolutely amazing promo by Arn there. I thought at one point he was going to just punch the window and smash it just to show how badass he was. So show that he had a pretty sweet right or left hand, too. So I thought he was going to go full on manly man and just smash out the window at some point, but he didn't do that. But it was still amazing nonetheless. This match, I really like this match, honestly. Arn's amazing selling ability makes him perfect for this match. It makes him a perfect opponent for, Johnny B. Badd to punch off of and, you know, lay some good shots in on. Because as absurd as maybe the concept of this match may be, it makes Badd's punches look great because he's, you know, selling them like a maniac. Like I said, the match is kind of an absurd concept. Like most of the show, that's kind of what the whole deal was. It was uncensored, you know. Bobby said that a million times throughout the show. But both men committed to the gimmick of this match. I really thought they really bought into it and really went for it. The only issue I kind of have is that they kind of abandoned the rounds thing at one point, just because Arn attacks him in the middle of the fucking round one time. So, but it shows that Arn will cheat and kind of try to get on top of the advantage and everything like that. But the bucket shot finish has always been one of my favorite finishes. I think it's hilarious. I thought it was great that he just punched him with the bucket on his head. I really, really like this one, and I went 3 stars on it.
Jeez. But Logan, remember, it's uncensored. Bobby keeps telling us that. Jenna, I will say, as well as loving the match, there's one absolutely amazing spot in it where, before round three begins, where Colonel Parker holds the stool up for all to whip Johnny in. Johnny hits the stool, and then Arn hits that oh-so-sweet spine buster. That was worth a couple of stars on its own.
Oh, for sure. But so the pair of promos before the match, I really love Mike Tenay in the locker room doing the interviews before the matches in this show, because his face is fucking hilarious and everybody hates him in all these interviews. It culminates. Well,
and we hate him on all our pods too, Jenny.
Later on.
We hate him in all our pods too. So that's
yeah. But you know, he just adds something weird. Like, just, I don't know. It's another demand. I like the pre-match promos anyway, and they do a lot of them in this show. So, and then that leads to Arn's amazing promo that is definitely one of the things that hooked me on wrestling. Like, even though I've never seen a promo like this since, I don't know. So he drives up in the truck, and then, like, he mentions where he got the truck. And so I'm thinking that it's – did somebody pay him to do this promo in this way? I don't know. It's almost like a little commercial for him and the truck. Anyway, it's just amazing. I love how he looks at himself in the reflection of the truck for parts of it. I said recently on a pod that – he just looks like a motherfucker who knows what's up, and he's just real. Like, I just believe him.
Oh yeah.
And I just, this whole thing is stunning. And they even put like clips of him wrestling in it too. It's just like a whole, and it's just out of nowhere, kind of like this little video package. I don't know. I really love it. It's fantastic. If you haven't seen it, just watch it. Watch it on YouTube or something if you don't want to watch it. But it's fucking great. And then the boxer versus wrestler, again, another fun gimmick, unique gimmick, with hilarious spots. Arn selling his dick off for Johnny B. Badd, who does look great in this too, I thought, you know. Just such a weird pairing and a weird match with all these rounds that they quickly, well, not quickly, they try to stick with it. They do a good job sticking with the rounds. But then, you know, the boys get confused in commentary and the wrestlers get confused. And so it does kind of get a little wonky at the end, but the finish is worth it for me. So it's just a really, really fun match. I really love the trainer guy. He's really doing the whole boxer thing. Like, and they buy into it. Like, they just, they don't half-ass it in the match, is what I think comes across. Like, they really just lean into this gimmick that is insane, and then they just fucking pull off a really, really fun match for me. So I am giving it 4 stars.
Cool. So let's go to our legitimate sports expert, Sean. What did you like the best, the boxing or the wrestling? Because Tony made sure to explain that, you know, there was no 3 knockdown rule in this fight because Arn Bledsoe got knocked over 4 times in the second round. So, you know, that really should have been the end. But I know you'd have been concerned about that.
Yeah. So the first interview with Johnny B. Badd, the first thing I could think of is poor Arn Anderson, who is in this boxing match, who is a legit just badass wrestler that I grew up growing up, I would watch him in the 80s, and I'm still watching him now on Crock and Roll in that same time frame. And he is one of the highlights of that show for us. Like, he just puts on match after match that is just fucking unbelievable, and he's a badass. And now he's going to be fighting Johnny B. Badd with his goddamn cosplay manager, Mickey from Rocky, which is absolutely absurd, right? But what I will 100% goddamn agree on, and this might be my favorite thing about this whole show, that fucking promo with him out in the middle of the field with the SUV and the power lines above him, just out in the middle of the field, that was amazing. And Jenny, I'll tell you why they did this. So Arn Anderson is an old school NWA guy, and I think what this was doing, you said it perfectly. It was almost like a commercial for him. So these people that are tuning in for the Hogan era of 95, they don't have any fucking clue who Arn Anderson is. They did this promo to sell Arn Anderson and who he was as a badass. And I think that was brilliant. I absolutely love this promo. Like, I've watched a ton of Arn Anderson promos, and this might be up there with some of my favorites just because that was Arn Anderson legit and who he was in the middle of the field. And that, you didn't have to bullshit that. That's who he was. Yep. So I loved it. I absolutely loved it. As far as the match, the other problem I had, Arn Anderson, again, the Arn I grew up with, he deserves way better than Colonel Robert Parker. That's just not, like, Arn, like, being a gimmick for somebody is just not, that's just not Arn to me, and that's what I struggle with a little bit. The other thing that bugs me throughout this whole show is I wish they would quit wondering where the fuck Jimmy Hart's at. Like, every other word is saying, where's Jimmy Hart? And I go back to SummerSlam 90, where they're looking for freaking Sapphire, and I'm waiting for, like, you know what would have popped me? Is if Duggan had come out in the middle of the promo and said, well, I don't know where she's at, but or where Jimmy Hart's at, but we'll keep looking. Like, that would have made the whole thing for me. Like, that would right? That would have been amazing. I'm going to disagree with Bad's punches. I thought they looked really awful. And Arn having to sell them bugged me, but Arn sold the shit out of it. I think Jenny said that. Absolutely sells the shit out of them. So as far as the question about what I like best, of course, the wrestling, I popped hard for the DDT. When Arn just had to know where DDT the motherfucker. And then when Arn gets into the match and really starts doing his shit, it got a lot better for me. The stool in the spine buster was absolutely amazing. And then they took me out again with Arn Anderson doing comedy with his fucking pail on his head. That really pissed me off. So, he looks like a fucking clown, and that's not Arn Anderson. So it's more about Arn Anderson than it is about the match for me, just because I have a different perspective of what Arn is. The punch visual is good on the bucket, but Arn doing comedy spots sucked. But Arn was great as always. I only went 1.5 stars on this match, but it's all because of Arn Anderson. All because of Arn. Yeah. And his promo was 5 stars. So,
I mean, I could see what you say about, you know, you don't want him doing comedy spots, but I don't know. I think it just showcases a different part of him. Like, he's badass, but he could crack a joke, you know, he can you know, do something ridiculous and silly. Yeah. I mean, that doesn't take away from his badassery to me.
Oh, no. No, yes. Jenny, for me, it's all perspective on the time period I grew up loving Arn.
Right. That's that makes very, sense.
That's all it is for me is this is not my Arn, and I struggle with that. So that's all it's about. So.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from, Sean, but I think that shows that he's more well-rounded. So I guess I just see it from a different perspective. But I get your points.
Nope. We are awfully good at explaining ourselves tonight. That's not normal for this pod, by the way. Just FYI, Jay. So.
He's very eloquent. What's going on here? I'd go 2.5 on it, but let's be fair to our badassery. There's something coming up later on that will further dilute that. So I'm going to appreciate this on Anderson while we've got him. Just a little hint for the second part of the show, guys. So then Tony and Bobby are at the commentary desk, and Tony throws a video package on Randy Savage before Mike then gets to interview the Macho Man. He says Avalanche won't be able to handle him tonight, and he will knock out anyone, including Mike, who gets in his way. Sean, I get the feeling that you would have been second in that queue behind Randy for knocking Tanay out.
Yes, 100%. Yes. Yes. Any
this,
physical
this would
abuse...
also be my favorite show ever if that happened.
Yeah. Yes. Physical abuse to Tanay is good on any front. So it's all good.
I know we're all on TNA shows here. I don't know how off putting it was seeing Mike Tanay looking quite young in this on this show. I was with hair.
I thought he looked exactly the same.
I actually made a note about that in the opening video where I thought like he looked so young. I actually made the note and I didn't say it earlier. Tanay looks so out of his place with his young receding hairline. That's what my notes were at the beginning of the show.
I think he looks like one of the monsters from that old TV show.
I love that we can shit on TNA no matter where he's at. I love it.
Yeah, we'll always have time for that. Sean, I'll sit with you about this match. So this was your typical Savage 80, you know, Savage versus Big Guy 80s match, but just done in 995. That's the exact what I've got.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Doug and Ming thing, but I might surprise you on this match. So Savage versus Avalanche with Savage getting the reach around. Did you notice the Capetto intro where he was just, I put that he got the Capetto reach around intro where he's just praising Macho Man as this greatest thing of all time. The intro was amazing. So, by the way, the originality of Avalanche worth being the great value Earthquake. I mean, did they really like take a lot of time to figure out what his name would be? Cause it's the exact same character. They just changed Avalanche. Real genius booking there, guys. And then I also made the note, remember when they fought in 1990, we get more Jimmy Hart bullshit. You know what? I thought the match had a few bright spots. Avalanche, I was a big fan of Avalanche in this match. Like, his power spots were amazing. Like, he did a belly-to-belly. He did a drop kick. He did his sitting his fat ass down on Savage, a power slam. A splash that I thought looked good. And, by the way, no one takes a shit kicking or sells it like Randy Savage. He sold the shit out of this match, and I thought Avalanche was good. I don't get the DQ because I thought it was a no DQ match. Am I correct?
I have that note. I've wrote a DQ and an uncensored match mark.
Yeah.
All right. So here's where I get to turn a little bit. Why is Flair in drag? Like, they already announced Flair was going to be here tonight because the pay-per-view is uncensored. And he, even though he's banned for life, he's going to be here. Why the fuck is he in drag? And then Tony playing a dipshit. When Flair runs in like a woman, he plays like, I don't know who this is. Who is that? Like a fucking idiot. The Avalanche finisher is always great. It's a shame because I thought the end was pure garbage, but I actually went 2.25 on the match itself. And honestly, it's because I thought Avalanche big man spots were good. And I thought Savage selling was excellent. So surprised the hell out of me when I watched this match, actually.
you've ruined my question to Jenny. So thanks a lot.
Sorry about that.
Ask it anyway.
I'll ask anyway, Jen. How long did it take you to figure out it was Ric Flair in that lovely woman's outfit?
Look, in Tony's defense, the way that we saw it, the camera angle, it was behind him the whole, most of the time when he first ran in there.
But he fucking did Ric Flair chops.
Yeah, I mean, that's what started giving it away, you know, but initially it was not clear at all.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
I'm just saying, it wasn't.
No, it's great.
I really don't think it was clear until he started doing the strut. So
that's I mean, yeah. Oh, I don't think the audience knew until he got in the ring.
I mean,
like you said, doing the strut. But yeah, I mean, Sean's right. Like, Avalanche is made. I love Avalanche. Like, I think he's awesome. I like a big old dude with a big old belly. And he's fun. Like, I thought he was really fun in here mixing up with Randy, who is always fun to watch, especially when he's, you know, bumping like crazy. And, you know, like you said, I mean, it's a Randy Savage match with a really fun Avalanche. And, Ric Flair and drag is funny to me. I don't have to know why he's doing it. It's just great that he is. he's just in his own, he's on his own level, I feel like. I just think it's just kind of a little bit of a hidden gem, like a little fun, surprising match. And I went 3.5.
3.5. Excellent. Logan, like the guys have said, nobody takes a shit kicking better than Randy Savage, but I have a big problem with the end of that match. Like, why are we having a DQ in this so-called no rules view?
Yeah. The DQ bothers me as well, and it kind of detracted from my score because I probably would have gone a little bit higher on it, but I went 2.25 like Sean did. I love that Savage right off the bat knows he's kind of dealing with a size advantage, so he kind of jumps Avalanche before he's even like rolling in the ring, so he already goes pretty hard at it to start. It doesn't really last long. Avalanche kind of recovers and starts taking him down. But you know, throughout the match, Savage has to use his speed and kind of high flying to keep him off balance. Savage gets a little greedy at one point, tries to do a power slam, can't quite get him up. So Avalanche obviously falls on top of him. And then Avalanche just wears him down, beats the crap out of him for a really, really good little bit there in the middle. The match is very smartly worked, like both people have said so far. I thought it makes Avalanche look like a dominant badass monster, but it also shows that Savage is kind of cagey and resilient and enough to hang in there with him and not get beat fairly easily, because I think a lot of other people would. But like I said, I enjoy the match a lot. But the DQ finish does kind of ruin it a bit, because the whole thing is uncensored, like everything. Mm-hmm. It should be a free-for-all in every match, so it takes away from it a little bit, but I'd still enjoy it at the same time.
Yeah, I went 2.5 on it, so I think we're all in I think we're all around the same ballpark, which I'm quite happy about. For once on this show. So that will do for the first part of the show. So for Jenny Smith, Logan Crosley, Duncan, I'm Ben Locke, and we will see you on the other side. This pink ribbon off my eyes, I'm exposed, and it's no big surprise. Don't you think I know exactly where I stand? This world is forcing me to hold your hand. Cause I'm just a girl, a little lonely. Well, don't let me out of your sight. Oh, I'm just a girl, already a fatigue. So don't let me have any rights. Oh, I need a
Please Be Nation, welcome back to part 2 of episode 22 of Chicken Salad. My name's Ben Locke. I'm here with Jenny Smith, Logan Crosley, and Sean Kidd, and we will get back now to Uncensored 1995. We head backstage where Mike Tenay is with Harlem Heat and Sister Sherry. Stevie says, no rules is exactly how they like it. Booker T tells Mike to shut up and tell the world the temperature is going to be at least 1,000 Harlem Heat degrees. Sherry then says that tonight is her first Texas Tornado match, and if she sticks her ass and her chest out whilst beating the Nasty Boys up, she'll do that all at the same time. Sean, I know how much you love Booker. Like, can you tell me what a Harlem Heat degree is, please? How was that different from the normal?
I was hoping it would mean that he and Stevie Ray would go burn in hell and never come back. That's what I was hoping about.
Jesus.
But I will say this. The interview is bullshit, but I will tell you, Sherry, looking absolutely insane in leather and just fucking MILF hot. I will say this. I do also love them shitting on rednecks in the promo. That was also very good. So I will give them that as well.
Jenny.
There you go.
Those are my people.
Jen, I know how much of a huge fan of Sister Sherry you are. And yeah, she looked amazing all night.
She did. And she is like firing up. She's like doing her part of this promo. And fucking Mike Tenay takes the fucking mic away and just interrupts her and just ends the segment. And she stands and looks at him like, what the fuck are you doing? So it's like all this like aggression towards Mike Tenay in all these interviews. I love it.
Mike Tenay is butt.
Yeah, he is butt. His face is butt. Yeah, but it's so fun, though. It's like, it's so fun. I love it.
Mike Tenay, Ben Bates, no, Mike Tenay's butt face.
Well, he does make the butthole lips. So, I mean, yeah, it does. Fit. I mean, his face is butt. So.
The old Trump face. True. The old Trump face. Yep.
We then go back to the ring where we have our next contest, which is between Sting and Big Bubba Rogers. Gary Capetta describes this as a super encounter tonight, a super contest, sorry, tonight, which I don't know how that's different from a regular contest, but there we go. I'm a big fan of Bobby making Tony Corpse live on air, which he did when he asks if Tenay is Oakland with a rug on. And Tony can handle his shit at that point, which always gets me going. Logan, as for the match itself, I thought it was pretty good, but at least 5 minutes too long for what they were going for.
No, I enjoyed it pretty good. But yeah, he's like, Okerlund's the one with the mustache, but he's also bald. Yeah, so he definitely makes him Corpse for sure. But yeah, that was a good moment. But yeah, the match, Sting dominates for a good bit of the match early, which isn't typically how these big man, I mean, Sting's not a small man, I guess, but, you know, Bubba's kind of supposed to be an imposing big guy, and Sting's kind of supposed to be the speedy little smaller guy, I guess. But that's not typically how these matches are kind of work, so. But I think once Bubba kind of takes over, he really lays in his offense and starts to focus on Sting's leg that he previously had torn his ACL, I believe. So he really works on that. At one point, Bubba gets a little too confident and climbs to the top rope, only to fall flat on his face. And Bobby says it's due to the type of shoes he's wearing. He's not wearing wrestling boots. He's wearing like dress shoes or something like that, I think is what they say. It's a hilarious line by Bobby. But this kind of allows Sting to take over. He hits a pretty awesome German suplex at one point. I thought that was it was weird kind of seeing that move at this point because they didn't really bust that out too often. But I do like that the knee kind of comes into play in the finish. I thought it was a really well-worked match by both guys, and I went 2.5 on it.
Excellent. Jenny, this show is obviously a stipulation-heavy match, but this match itself featured a lot of, you know, good limb work and a storyline throughout the match, which I really appreciated.
You're right. I mean, they give you a little video package kind of catching you up on what their beef is, which was, I thought, pretty well done. And Sting looks really good. I like him in white and with the red boots. It's a good match, but I feel like it needs some sort of stipulation, right? It needs something to make it sort of fit in with the theme of the show. This and the Savage match, really, are the only ones without some weird thing. So it sort of, I feel like it dings it a little bit instead of writing the show with a real match, a quote unquote real match.
How dare they? What
are they doing? I'm actively taking stars away because it just doesn't fit with the whole rest of the show.
Amazing.
Which is it? I feel like it's valid. I feel like that's valid criticism of this, but I'm not a super big Sting fan either. So this is like my piss break match of the show.
Wow.
And it's 2.5 stars.
It's a piss break match, Sean, but come on, it's still 2.5 stars. So that, yeah, you as the old school NWA guy, you must have loved seeing Big Bubba back in action.
You know, it's funny. So one thing I'll agree with Jenny on, I think everybody knows I'm not a big Sting fan. So I agree with Jenny on that. But the first note I made as a Crockett fan, and literally I am 2 episodes away on my pod from Bubba debuting with the Midnight Express. But also remember, that's in 1986, and now here we are in 1995. So it's very funny that he's coming back to this gimmick. But I always love the Big Bubba gimmick, so it's kind of cool. He's been through all these phases. I'm also with Jenny. I thought the video package before the match was really good at telling the story. So sometimes it's the simple stuff, and I thought it was really well done. Bubba in this match is an absolute bump machine. But there's a couple things in here that bug me. A lot of botches. So there was a spot where the ring post leg pulling Bubba into it was botchy, where literally Bubba lost his grip, but he still ran into the post anyway, which I thought was really bad. Sting selling his knee when it clearly looked like when he did a leapfrog, it was his nuts that got hurt, I thought was pretty bad. I thought Bubba was good on the off. Well, it happened. He got clipped in the nuts and he sold his knee. So tell me what happened. Bubba was good on the offense. I thought Sting was good on the selling. I did like the knee limb work, even though he should have been working over the nuts instead. Then Bubba matches again by falling off the top rope, which popped me. That was amazing. You brought up the German suplex. I also enjoyed the spot where Bubba went, like when he was the boss man, he'd run outside and he'd go for that punch on the outside super fast. But I love that Sting ducked it and grabbed him and pulled him into the ring into a sleeper and into the jawbreaker on the tie. I thought that was a pretty good spot. But the finisher was out of nowhere, and I thought it was kind of a wet fart. And I thought Bubba winning was a shock. But overall, I really enjoyed it. It was a bit botchy, but I actually went 3 stars on this. I actually had a really good time watching this match. So
I'm in between you all. I went 2 3/4, but I'm with you. Yeah, my exact note reads: finish was just too sudden for what they were going for. Because it's like it's an okay 15-minute match, and then
but it was Sting. It was Sting. Like Sting doesn't lose like in a wet fart in a finish. You know, even though I don't like Sting, he's a big time star, and it's like they treated him like a jobber on that finish. It was just weird.
And go to
Jenny's point. Maybe like this was meant to be the regular match where Bubba got the win, and then they were going to do some kind of stipulation match, which is obviously asked backwards to this show. But maybe that's what they were going for.
Maybe it was just weird that Bubba won, and that was the
yes.
That's the whole.
I would have had much more respect if Bubba won the match because he was working over the nuts. That would have made it much better. Much better.
Nut-based
for that. Yeah,
nut-based limb work. I'd be there for that.
Right, that's good in as well. Nut-based limb.
I'm sure that'll be in a write-up.
It's nut-based, like any not, Xbox nut-based. Current day match should be anus worked. So,
correct, yeah. correct. Anus, yes, correct.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with an Xbox match in 2022.
Ah, there'll be one this weekend. So,
yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, as we record this.
Well, yeah, as we record this, yes, there's one this weekend. Yes.
Our next contest, guys, is a tag team match for the tag team titles between the Champions Hall of Heat and the Nasty Boys. This is a Texas Tornado pinfalls count anywhere match. And before the match, we get another interview, but this time Mike's with the Nasty Boys. The only note I made on the interview, I don't know about anybody else, is just that Brian Knobbs and Jerry Sags need to take some coffee or calm the hell down, because there's just too much shouting and blaring going on for my life. And I'm, you know, I didn't need that at this time of night. I'll go to Logan first, because this is just batshit crazy, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, as any Nasty Boys promo is basically just nasty sensation, pity city, you know. So that's pretty much any Nasty Boys promo right there. But yeah, this match is going to be very divisive. I feel like in that I love it and it's amazing. Sherry kind of coming out at the beginning and distracting the Nasty Boys was a smart way to kind of start the match. Poor Sherry has to take Pity City, and it's not the worst bump that she's going to have to take throughout the match, but I felt bad that she had to be rubbed in Sags' armpit, so that was pretty horrifying. But then we head to the concession stand, and all hell breaks loose. Lemonade, mustard, and ketchup get spilled everywhere. There's even some popcorn and cotton candy. There's some cotton candy based offense. I thought that was pretty great. And Stevie Ray lays it on top of us. I think it Sags. When the mustard gets spilled and poured all over Harlem Heat, Bobby asks, he even does a little accent and says, "Is there any gray poupon?" I thought that was a fantastic. like I said during the break, Sherry is the absolute MVP of the show for this match, and she's the MVP of the match. She works her ass off. She just tries so hard, and she's wearing heels during all this, so that makes it even more impressive. She tries to stay standing. She even gets a little bit off offense in throughout all the slop that goes on. I think it's an amazingly entertaining little botch fest all over the place. You know, all of the concession stand little things are like a kindergarten art project that they put together at the local elementary school. But it's not great technically. I'll at least admit that. And it also kind of stinks that the camera misses the pin. I think that's a kind of a
I don't even think there is a pin. I think there is no pin.
No, there is a pin. Not Knob's pin. Knob spins them on top of the funnel cake stand.
Oh my god! You know how many times I rewinded that fucking the pin? I mean, let's be honest.
They only show it in replay though, so you don't even see it live.
All right.
But since I can't score them separately, I'll average them and I'll go 3 stars on it.
Jesus.
All right. So Jerry, we all know about your love of the King of the Road. You've explained that eloquently on tonight and on other things, but this match has got to be a close second for your love on this show. Like I want to know that first time you saw Sherry taking the pin. I can't even get the words out without laughing.
She is so amazing. She looks fucking sick. Like her outfit is just so hot. And then she just doesn't give a fuck, right? She just does it. Like she just. She's made out of rubber or something because like, I mean the things that she does. And then the little concession stand, it's so fucking funny to me because it's so fake. It's so fake. Nobody's buying concessions in this area. And I just love the idea that somebody had to like build this shit and put it there and set it all up. I love that idea. I love that it's just kind of like over in the corner and they just kind of get this whole space to just fuck shit up, which is what they do. And they're falling down the whole time, which y'all know me, when people fall, it's like just the height of comedy to me. So they're all just slipping and sliding over all the trash, all the gross stuff. But they're just going for it. It's just they don't half-ass it. Like you could easily just be like, oh, pick up a thing and just be like, you know. And there is maybe a little bit of that with a cotton candy spot, but I just feel like they go for it so much and they just get dirty and they just fall down. And Sherry's just trying to beat everybody up and it's just chaos. And then, you know, you get a little bit true hardcore stuff in there with, you know, some of the shots and stuff like that and the weapons, but I this is just so fucking entertaining. Madness, hilarious. The whole set, just everything just falls apart, just all of it. I can't help it. It's just, it's so unique and wonderful and fun, and it's 5 stars.
The thing with it is, right? Like Jenny says, it's all chaos and, you know, it's everything's fast moving in it, to be fair. And that's why I've not got a problem with anybody slipping over, because it is that chaotic and that mad that something like that is going to happen. You don't want people just to be staying on their feet, you know, being boring. It's meant to be a brawl. That's the whole point. So Sean is already grumbling. I can hear him. But Sean, be nice. Before you start, I know this is a match with the Nasty Boys, Booker T, and some feet on display. So,
so we made Sean do the Jake grumble.
Yeah, I got the old Jake grumble going on. Yeah. So, as someone that has slipped and fell in front of the two people on his podcast about a year ago, I can totally appreciate Jenny's love for people falling, and that's all I'm going to say about that. So
they got nothing on you, Sean.
Defense, I didn't actually see you. I was turned the other way.
That was a good spot for an almost 50-year-old man, I thought at the time. So, what I will say is, I'm going to go back to right after Sting versus Bubba. I made a note. They did a Slamboree Legends reunion plug, And I put no legends needed for this show because all of them are already on 1995 WCW payroll. So that's I put that on there. I also, and I thought surprisingly, it was a good video promo to build the match. The interview with the Nasty Boys, you already brought it up. Lots of yelling, locker hitting, et cetera, et cetera. I thought the Nasty Boys are complete idiots for falling for the entrance fake out. Like, that's the only trick in the book. Lots of punching and kicking. A really bad botched pile drive, double pile driver that looked absolutely atrocious. You brought up Sherry. I put Sherry taking armpit bumps. That's what I wrote. The concession stand fight, you already said it. I was going to say, I remember when my sister-in-law had a birthday party for her four-year-old kid, and she did like this little makeshift fair thing outside, and this concession stand totally reminded me of that. Like, literally, it was someone just putting this stuff together for the sake of this fight, and Jenny brought up a great point about where it's placed, because there is no concession stand anywhere in any arena that's in that spot, which I thought was a great point. Everyone was slipping and falling, mustard all over heat, and Sherry, by far, for me, took the best, worst fall of all of them, when she freaking got thrown in. I think one of the Nasty Boys threw her into, and she slipped and freaking collided with one of them and fell flat on her ass. That was amazing. I am also a big fan of the Sherry outfit, which I brought up. Bobby says someone got pinned in the popcorn area. Well, the problem with that is there is no popcorn area in this concession stand. So that's a problem. And then, you know, to me, guys, here's the thing. So on the last salad show, you guys did Super Brawl 2000. And you talked about, this is going to get me in a lot of trouble, Tank Abbott versus Big Al and how bad it was, but unintentionally funny. This is kind of along those same lines where it's unintentionally funny, really, really bad. And shoot me, this one's a dud.
This match doesn't touch that match. That match was horrendous.
I disagree because I was just unintentionally entertained by that match as I was this one. Same exact.
Why is it unintentionally? How is it not intentionally?
This is not intentionally funny. It is an unintentionally meant to.
I don't believe that.
Because all the parts, they didn't intentionally fall on their ass the whole entire match. They didn't intentionally. They didn't intentionally botch a double pile drive.
But they went into the match knowing that that shit was going to happen. You know?
They set
it all up to be a comedy match.
I get it. I just can't.
The Lenny Lane Award has been locked up. So it's all
just I can't. Yeah, I'm going to get the Lenny Lane Award for a match that is a true dud. And that's amazing to me, but that's okay. Wrong. It's all good.
Like you said, Logan, on the last show, it's funny how we don't seem to give a Lenny Lane Award out unless Sean's around. We know that happens.
We haven't given it out in a while, even when I've been on. So,
no, I know. I'm only kidding. I'm only messing. No, I went 2.5 on it because there's enough. There is.
You guys
enough.
I'm sorry. You guys are fucking insane. I'm sorry. You're fucking insane. Yep. I love you all dearly, but you're all fucking insane.
There's enough comedy value in there for me to. I'm not saying it's like Savage Steamboat. I'm just saying it's a fun brawl. And I quite like that. You are talking to the man who gave, like, you know, Cactus Jack and Kevin Sullivan versus the Nasty Boys' greatest WCW match of all time.
Well, it's up there. It's certainly top 10. This is nowhere near close. You can't even compare that one. That's crazy to even bring that up.
I'm just making the point that this is the kind of wrestling I like.
Okay.
I think it's about a quarter star away from Savage Steamboat, so.
I have said my piece. I am done.
We've turned Sean around on Savage Steamboat, Logan. I will have you know. after the chaotic brawl, which three of us seem to enjoy, we then go back backstage where Mike Tenay is with Vader.
Yes. He
takes the mic and says the fear is here, and Hogan has nowhere to run, and he will beat Hogan with Flair at his side. Ric Flair cuts his promo with his drag makeup still on. And he says he is not just a pretty face, but he's possessed with wanting to beat Hogan for who retired him at Halloween Havoc, even. Like, get me teeth back in. We then go back to the ring for our main event, which is a strap match between Hulk Hogan and Vader. My first couple of notes. Ah, yes, the ultimate surprise. And Buffer has to check for his cue. because he just hasn't got a clue what's going on. So yeah, we have got the Ultimate Spice. So Vader is with Ric Flair. Hulk Hogan brings the Renegade to ringside, who has some familiar sounding music, some great value music, and a great value look. As you all know, throughout the night, they have been plugging the Ultimate Surprise. Of course, this was their attempt to cash in on the Ultimate Warrior. I don't know if they got even close to getting the Warrior, or it was just a case of getting somebody with reasonably long hair and muscles to play him. Logan, you know, if there's one thing I hate in this world, it's a Jeff Jarrett wank fest. I think we might have found the thing that beats that tonight on this show, which is a Hulk Hogan wank fest.
I think they're equally as terrible. I think those are pretty one and the same, and I agree that they're both terrible. I do love that Flair still has the makeup on from earlier. He looks like freaking Medusa from The Rescuers, and her bad makeup job. I always thought that
that's an amazing comparison, by the way. That's very good. Very good one.
Her picture, he looks just like her.
That makes me like even more.
God damn it.
Other than the red and white hair, but everything else, they look exactly the same. Just a few notes pre-match. The fact that they think that there's a Mississippi State Athletic Commission is absolutely my favorite. I love that they believe that. That's amazing. There's definitely not one of those. He also calls Hogan the king of Hulkamania. That's a pretty laughable line. And then the Renegade has to be, not being the Warrior, has to be one of the worst reveals of all time. That it's just so bad that they completely rip him off and aren't actually able to get him. Just all time bad there. I'm going to be negative on this match. This match stinks. It's a complete disservice to Vader. As the match is about everything but him, and it's all about what's going on right around the ring, and Hogan going after Flair a lot. Hogan also has some of the worst chair shots I've ever seen throughout this, but that's kind of one of his calling cards, so I kind of expected it going in. As soon as he grabbed it, I knew it was going to happen. It also goes entirely too long. This match is like way, 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 way past its expiration date, like 10 minutes in, and it goes another 10 after that, so... and to make matters worse, the match actually ends with Flair on the other end of the strap, and Hogan hits the corners. So Flair's not even in the match, and Vader's on the outside while Hogan's winning with Flair strapped to him. So this match is a dud. I hate Hogan Wankfest. I hate Jarrett Wankfest. They're pretty equally as terrible to me, so I don't like this one at all. So as much as I loved the previous match, I absolutely hate this one. So, yeah. That's my thoughts.
Sean, you mentioned a couple of times tonight about your old school NWA love. So you must have been really pleased that the Renegade totally no-sold for Vader.
You must be reading my notes. You're reading my notes. So I'll talk about, first off, the Vader promo to start. Excellent Vader promo. He sounds like crazy-ass Ultimate Warrior from the 90s when he did those unspeakable promos that no one could understand. I loved it. Flair and his mascara and nail polish and really bad hair. You guys already talked about Logan had that amazing comparison, which I absolutely hated because as an old school NWA fan, this is not my Ric Flair. So it's kind of like the same vibe as I have with Arn. I'm not liking this Flair. This feud, the other thing that's bad about this feud had so much potential to be an all-timer because Vader from 92 to 95 was the absolute fucking man. And this should have been a big time match. And, you know, 80s Hulk Hogan in 1995 is the shits. And by the way, Michael Buffer can also go fuck off. As far as the match, I put, remember when Flair and Vader had a great story at Starrcade 93 and now both of them are caught in 95 Hogan hell? Those are my first notes. The Ultimate Surprise was freaking just terrible. This whole match is based on where the fuck is Jimmy Hart? I don't give a fuck where Jimmy Hart is at. Heenan, by the way, Heenan on commentary speaks a really great truth. He goes, what has happened to Ric Flair is sad. This is what Hogan does to people. And I wrote, yep, that's exactly right, Bobby Heenan. So Bobby Heenan with great insight here. The Renegade thing is an absolute disgrace of a whole nother level, which, by the way, in the end leads to this poor guy dying, which I don't know how much worse it could get than that. A lot of Hogan choking and eye punching. Poor Flair. having his shit nose sold by Renegade is absolutely deplorable. And same with Vader. Like, Vader like pummels him and Renegade just nose sells him. It's just unbelievable for me. Some good strap whips. I'll give him this. There were some good strap whips that I thought were good. Hart comes running out, apparently assaulted him and kidnapped him in the back and has escaped. So too bad whoever kidnapped him didn't throw him in the bottom of a pit and bury him. Hogan chair shots are terrible. Vader selling way too much for Hogan some more. Renegade, again, no selling Vader punches. That undoes 3 years of people who have done it in 2 seconds. Then on top of that, not only are we going to shit on Vader and Flair, now we're going to shit on Arn Anderson being a masked man. And the most absolutely stupidest fucking finish I've ever seen in a match whatsoever. And Heenan shits all over it. Like, Heenan's the only one with any common sense during this whole entire match. Hogan ends up taking out both of them. Then he takes out Arn. Total shit on WCW Legacy. I'm going to quote my good friend and podcast partner, Colin McDougal. This match can get the fuck big, fat, double dud.
Now, you said I've been reading your notes. I think you've been reading mine, because I've actually got that Bobby Heenan line, I said, and I've wrote, Bobby Heenan is channeling his inner Sean Kidd by saying this is not his Ric Flair.
This is why Bobby Heenan was an amazing commentator on this. Like, this is one of his all-time. He was serious in this and comedy earlier. He was amazing during this show. So. Yeah,
absolutely. So, Jen, we're not the biggest fans of this match. Can you defend it in any way for us?
I have a couple of things. Vader just knocking the fuck out of Mike today. He's like, shut up, punk, and just hits him. It's fucking awesome. I mean, every single time I see it, I die. It is so fucking funny. also, I don't care anything about Jimmy Hart. That's right. Bobby is what makes it for me. It's like he's trying to explain what Flair has done. You know, he's like trying to give him all these reasons why he has dressed as a woman and has seemingly lost his mind. And he lays it all at Hogan's feet during the whole match. So Bobby is just amazing. And to me, it's what makes me like this match way more than you guys. Because I factor in commentary like a lot on a match. Hogan is Hogan. The chair shots are terrible. The boots are terrible. Vader is a madman. He is the best thing ever. I have a soft spot for him and for strap matches in general. So I really like the gimmick of this match and the stip. I like the pairing of Flair and Vader, even though it's not like a tag match, but they are still, you know, working together. And I really love them together. And some of that is based off of Starrcade from 93 as well. But I don't love the Arn stuff. I don't really care much about the Renegade. Like, you know, I'm like, whatever. Like, I get it. It's not who you wanted, but it's WCW. Like, it kind of makes sense for them to have a great value version of of Ultimate Warrior. I don't hate him like a lot of wrestling fans do. He's basically just nothing in this, just a distraction, like, for me. So, the finish is quite dumb, and it does take away from the overall enjoyment of the show for me for this, and it was too long, too. The match is terribly too long. But, you know, I just can't hate it. I just love the show too much, and to me it fits in like with the whole theme of the show. So, you know,
she's almost winning me over.
So she's trying not to say it because she thinks, Jenny, no one's gonna harp on it. I promise.
I know. Okay. I'm still debating it honestly, because it, you know, It is not the greatest, but I'm still going to do 2¾ stars.
I'm having chest palpitations on that one.
I mean, I will say in reply to what Jenny said that don't worry, Jen, nobody cared about the Renegade, so don't worry.
Okay.
You're quite safe saying that. But
well, apparently he knew that in the end.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, thanks for that. I will say though as well, this would have been the perfect time to put the title on Vader, because Stanbury, they're doing the tag match anyway with the Mega Powers and Vader and Flair, and then they're doing the cage match in Bash of the Beach. You can put the title back on Hogan there, you know.
By the way, I would go out on a limb and I would say that this match was the beginning of the end of Vader's career. It really is. I mean, his WWE run sucks. His run here with Hogan sucks. They destroyed 3 years of great Vader in literally one match. That's what they did.
I mean, you've got to think. So he has that last match with Hogan in July, and then he's gone by September.
Yep. So I'm telling you, this was the end of Vader as the great Vader that we all love. So.
And sadly, that is what Hulk Hogan does, just destroys people.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
With that all said, guys, that is the end of Uncensored, and that is the end of that show. But it's not the end of our show, because we've got some awards to give out. So I will stick with Sean. What was your best match of the night?
Bubba Sting.
Bubba Sting. I will go Bubba Sting, Logan.
I'm going to go the concession stand tag match.
Oh, fuck it.
Good lad, Logan. Good lad. Jenny, I know you've got a few contenders. So what was your... What was your... I think we all know the answer, but, you know, just say it's official.
My favorite match of all time, King of the Road match.
There we go. What, Jenny, have you got a worst match on this show? Is there one that you really didn't like?
Well, probably Sting Bubba would probably be... just because it's just basic in a
it's
show.
It's a regular match.
Yeah, it's a regular show, yeah. and we're not doing basic in this show.
It's so basically basic.
It's so basic.
Sean, have you got a worse match perchance?
Oh man. clearly the main event with a side of Harlem Heat Nasty Boys.
With a side, you know, like that. Logan.
Yeah, main event. I can't defend it, even if Jenny did a great job, but it's still terrible. No defense.
I've got to go main event. Like Logan said, Jen, you did a great job, but I can't.
That's fine. I get it.
I can't justify that. Logan, what was your most surprising match or moment of the night? Remember, surprising can be good. Surprising can be bad.
Nothing really. Like I said, I've seen this show so many times, or parts of this show so many times. I don't think anything really surprised me tonight. I guess the boxer versus wrestler match, I don't remember it being as good as I thought it was. So I'll say surprisingly good on that one.
Jen, I know you've seen this show so many times. Is there anything that surprised you watching it this time?
No, I mean, not this time, but I just think... I think the surprising part is how good the commentary is.
Yes, I'd agree with that, actually. I've got that, actually. I've got most surprising match being odd and bad, just because of the storytelling was pretty damn good. And because Bobby gets such a bad rap in WCW, he was on fire tonight. He was absolutely brilliant all evening. Sean, what was your most surprising match or moment?
I mean, obviously the commentary, I agree 100% on the commentary. Just outstanding work by Bobby. But I actually went with Avalanche and Savage. Way better than I expected. Mm. As someone that hadn't watched this full show until for this, I was pleasantly surprised by that match, so I'm going with that.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I'd go with that too. Sean, I mean, I would, the other two people on this pod have kind of warned you where this one's going, but I'll let you go first. Who's getting your Lenny Lane Award for the biggest shit take of the night?
You know, normally it's very easy because I could throw it at you or Logan without any, like, you know, because, you know, it's easy to do that, you know, and I hate to give it to Jenny, but I can't. Maybe
it's fine.
Well, you know what? Actually, you know what? Because here's what I'm going to do. because I know Jenny likes this type of show and this type of stuff. She likes the funny. She likes the amusing. I'm going to go and give it to Logan for supporting her on that fucking concession stand match, because Jenny, as a guest, she gets to buy, and I also know how much she loves this type of wrestling. Logan, you have no excuse, so I'm giving it to Logan.
That seems fair enough. Jenny, would you like to respond?
So I've recently decided that I don't believe in shit takes, and I just, I mean, that's, I amazing. Get that is a thing that people say, but I don't know. I understand that people are not going to feel the same way I do, and I understand that I won't feel the same way they do. So it's hard for me to go like, that's a shit take, you know. So
Jenny, just give it to me. It's okay. All right. It's all right. Good. That's my lot in life. It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I thought you were, you know, as fair as you could be on this show. So, I mean, your takes are true to you. And so I'm not going to say that that's a shit take. So, okay. I got nothing for this one.
Okay.
Wow. Look at that. Wow.
Now,
we didn't give it out last time. It's okay.
Now, Jenny sat on the fence there, Logan, but I get the feeling that you're not going to be quite as cautious on this.
Yeah. He's the king for a reason, and it's going dud on the concession stand. So.
By the way, I'm really offended because I haven't given a shit take in a long fucking time. So for me to get a shit take on that one, that's like a freaking just absolute bunch of bullshit. But that's
I mean, you could have given it a quarter star at least. But
no, absolutely, I could not.
Full on dud is just offensive.
I for the hate that I have for Harlem Heat and the Nasty Boys, that was not happening.
No stars is offensive to me as a person, so.
Awesome. Love it.
Now, our final award of the night, Jen, and I think, again, we know the answer.
Logan,
to this.
Hey, Ben, you didn't give your shit take. I assume I'm getting that from you, too.
I'm kind of a bit with Jen. I think everybody's been quite fair tonight.
Okay,
all right. I'm going to be neutral as well, because, like, genuinely, I think everybody's actually been quite fair, quite reasonable.
I think so, too.
Nobody said anything I wasn't expecting. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, fuck you, Mud Pie. Thanks, man. Go ahead.
As you make my father and son go at each other. So.
See, this is the thing, Jen. I have to, like, ref these two every month.
Oh, so. I know. See, there's a version of this show where we just scream at each other, right? And
there really is.
And I cut promos on all of y'all and all that. And I considered doing that, but then... You know,
I considered it too, by the way. But
well, I'm sure.
But there's very few people that I have a lot of respect for, and you're one of them. So that was going to happen.
I appreciate that, and I heard that you're scared. So
I'm not really scared at all. I still shit on the matches. That didn't stop. Yeah. So I just did it a little more politically than Sean usually does. But I'll just leave it at that.
We appreciate Jenny, the artistic and articulate speaker. So
I do. I was very happy to kind of calm down the beast a little bit. So good job, Jenny.
There's an image for everybody.
I bet that's the first time she's ever been told that. So.
Goodness gracious. What are we doing?
Now, our final award of the evening, and I think I know Jenny's answer to this. It's the most important question of the night, Jen. Do you consider this show chicken salad or chicken shit?
It's chicken salad, baby.
Chicken salad, baby. Sean?
I'm going to have to stay true. Chicken shit.
Chicken shit. And I've left him till last because he gives the greatest analogies known to man. Salad or shit, my friend.
Ah, man. It's salad for sure, but it's like, I can't even come up with a good articulate way of putting it tonight. It's like that recipe that your grandma has that, like, you know, really isn't that good, but you choke it down just because you love her and you know you love it because she makes it. So, something like that.
Hey, I got to change. You know what? I got to change it because if I look at the rankings we have for the other shows, it wouldn't make sense, and the only reason why I'm going to change it is because I was thoroughly entertained in several parts, but overall, I would never watch this show ever again. Match quality is absolute garbage, but I was thoroughly, I was absolutely thoroughly entertained, and based on the rankings of the other shows, I don't think I can make it shit because it doesn't make a lot of sense. So I'll change.
I'm kind of there with you. I'd equate it to something like a mystery science theater. Like, you know, there's a certain naffness and a quality, but you're still going to watch it anyway. And it's, and let's face it, it's only 2.5 hours. And apart from that last match, nothing outstays its welcome, really.
And this is one of those iconic shows that, you know, people just literally shit on, but they never stop talking about. So this is, just, like I said earlier, this is the weirdest freaking show, pay-per-view that we ever watched on this podcast, because I've never been more torn on a solid shit pay-per-view in the entire run of this show. It's just a bizarre show for me. So.
Well, I mean, the argument is there that if this was not the show that I watched on that night, that I might not have given a fuck about wrestling for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Very weird.
But it's all to do with what people like, what their tastes are. So like Jenny says, like, this is the show that got her hooked. Like, so I think all of it, like Logan and Sean, there's probably a show that out there that we know is rubbish and we know isn't great, but we love it anyway. So my one is Royal Rumble 98. It's a terrible show, but there is something about that I absolutely love, and I'm sure it's the same for Sean. Logan will be some, you know, he loves that NXT 2.0. Well, somebody's got him, so, you know.
mine is like Callum McDougal. Mine's Battle Bowl. I'm like Callum on Battle Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah, that's mine. So,
which one's yours, Logan? While we're all here, go on.
I'd have to think about it. I'll report back on the next episode. I'm not quite sure off the top of my head, but I'll come up with one, and I'll tell it next time.
Man, I feel like this episode has been one big fucking therapy session. This is amazing.
Are we done with the categories?
No, we have one more.
We've done with the awards. We've got our lead table to go. Which I'm not going to ask you to vote on, Jen, because I don't think you've seen everything that's on our lead table.
No,
where are we putting this? So obviously we've got our four Brawl shows at the top, and I'm going to be controversial. I don't think it's going to be touching the top five.
Me neither.
Go to Logan first.
I personally would put it between SummerSlam 10 and Great American Bash 99, because I think that Great American Bash 99 show had actually a couple of good matches on it. So, actual like in ring, well done matches, and that, you know, this one's kind of absurd good, but I'd put it between 10 and I'd put it as the new 11.
I'd go a smidge higher. So let me, sorry, Luke. So let me.
No, that's fine.
I'll go from 13 up, and let's. So that's where Logan would go. So 13 WrestleMania 27, 12 Bash at the Beach 2000, 11 Great American Bash 99, SummerSlam 2010. Sean, if you want to butt in and just give it when I get to one that you think we're
no, this is tough because WrestleMania 27 was absolute garbage. Bash at the Beach 2000 was It's very hard. I'm like. And the other part of me is like, even though it's shit, Great American Bash 91 for me is how you guys feel about this show. There's some good stuff in it, but there's shit in it. But I actually enjoy the show overall. So for me, I'm thinking it has to be, I'm going to go with Logan. I'll stick with the 11.
Okay. I'll bow to you both. So we'll go with number 11.
Yeah, that'll work.
There you go, Jen. Out of 22 shows we've done, it's exactly halfway.
Well, I mean, that's not bad considering how I feel like you guys felt coming into the show.
So. Yes.
Well, no, Jenny. Overall, I still think the show is garbage, but you can't.
Right.
You can't rule out the fact of the entertainment value of what this show is, and that you just can't. You just can't do it.
I mean, you can during your star rating.
No, I can't, but I get, but I understand. I totally understand. So.
You know what Logan and Jenny were just saying about us all being nice and getting on this pod?
We did it for two hours. I think that's our limit.
Yeah.
Probably.
You know, let's not end things on a sour note.
Anyway. Go ahead.
So, Sean, Have you got anything that you'd like to plug, seeing as you have dared to grace us with your presence tonight? You can plug something while you're here.
No, I mean, I'm just kind of on, I'm kind of here and there on the pods right now due to real life. But my main one, NWA Crock and Roll, is still going whether I'm there or not. So Colm usually hosts it if I'm not there. So I'll plug that one. I'll let Logan plug the other ones we do. I know I just, we're going to be recording a pedestal coming up and YouTube Roulette. But other than that, that's all I got for now.
Outstanding. Logan, what would you like to plug while you're here, my friend?
Howie did the Impact Zone. We just did our Slammiversary 2005 pod. We live watched it. That should be coming out. Well, as of recording, it comes out this week. But obviously this comes out later. So, but Pedestal, YouTube Roulette, Chronoso Daily, From Squared Circle to Silver Screen, Popcorn Chicken Salad, just all those great shows, and all the other great shows throughout the Quadapods. Just listen to everything. All the people are great and all the shows are great. So just listen to a little bit of everything. And I think no matter who you are and what your interests are, I think you'll find something that you like.
Very well said. Jenny, first of all, can I just thank you so much for being on today. Really appreciated it. Anything that you would like to plug while you're here?
Thank you all for having me. I appreciate it. And I actually had a good time. So I would... Surprised?
You sound shocked.
No, I'm not surprised. I was just, I didn't know how mad I was going to get, because I know how mad I can get about especially about the show. And I didn't at all, so that's good. So for my wrestling content, you can find me on North South Connection. I have TNA Never Dies and the Extreme Three-Way Dance. I was also recently on Behind the Connection with JT, where I talk a lot about Uncensored 95 on that as well, like, and my fandom origin and stuff like that. So listen to that. And on the Place to Be Wrestling feed, I have PTB NXT and Talkin' WCW, both with fairly new episodes right now. You can listen to those. And then my own podcast feed has zero wrestling on it, but it does have cool shows like you heard about Pluto and Freak Out Drive-In and Talkin' Pop, Bianca's First Time. So that is still chugging along. There's a lot of Plutos out right now and some freakouts coming too. So I'll listen to those on the Jenny Position and follow me on Twitter and on the Facebook page.
Thank you. We need to put that, you know, I like film critics, they have them quotes on the movie posters from film critics. We need that one from Jenny. I was quite surprised how nice they were. we need to have that on out. As for me, you can catch me on the Special Relations with Callum and Rory once a month. We are winding down the show for the summer because Rory's going to take a summer break there so we can have some paternity leave. He's doing the whole HBK summer off thing.
Amateur.
Yeah, he's amateur hour. It's a bit low. How dare he? You can also catch me on Twitter at BenL1981. So for Sean, Logan, and Jenny, remember everybody, in a world where you can be anything you want to be kind. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you again next month.
You gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You gotta be Listen as your day unfolds. Challenge what the future holds. Trying to keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears. Go ahead, release your fears. Mom.